We got a late ass reunion. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
Foul-mouthed mutant mercenary Wade Wilson, aka Deadpool, brings together a team of fellow mutant rogues to protect a young boy of supernatural abilities. Was it supernatural abilities, would you say? Sorry. What was it? Were they supernatural? It was fire powers. Together, a team of fellow mutant rogues to protect a young boy of with fire abilities from the brutal time-traveling mutant Cable, played by Josh Brolin. This is Deadpool 2, our late-ass review. Team Awesome Inc., Mike and V here for Vendetta, or Vanessa. Her name's Vanessa, but it's Vendetta as well. V, it's easier. All of our information is in the description below, so you could find it there.
Yep.
The YouTube channel is Simmer Mike. Yep. All caps, like we're shouting at you. My name, as it looks in a phone book.
So basically, it's like we're yelling at you from a phone book.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. Man, keep that weird interpretation thing going. Because okay. We're going into Deadpool 2. And guys, we're going into fucking crazy town.
Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers are ahead. Even the description at the top is a bit of a spoiler. Even though it's just a description, because a lot of the synopsis that you see for it is a really messed up description about Deadpool trying to be Wade, trying to be the best bartender in Mayberry. Remember, like,
really?
We read the whole thing, and it was nonsense, but it was just to throw people off, and it was tremendous. It was funny, though, the description and the movie. I mean, God, spoilers ahead. Directed by David Leitch, is it Leitch? Whatever. Rhett Reese, writing credits are Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, and Ryan Reynolds, respectively. I think it was because of all the ad-libbing, and I also think he had some ideas for the story that he kind of worked with the writers on. Ryan Reynolds has been very heavily involved with Deadpool since he did, even when he, what was it, the leaked footage that came out all that long time ago.
I'm sure that Ryan Reynolds wrote the majority of his own stuff.
Maybe. I mean, there's probably a lot of it was just ad-libbed anyway.
Yeah.
But regardless, it was based on the Marvel Comics by Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza. I'm so white. I'm the whitest man. So anyway, tremendous team. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's even when I was reading the Deadpool comic books, I always had an idea that he was sort of like, at first, like when, honestly, you want to know who I first saw in my head when I read the Deadpool comics? And this was before X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Who?
Jim Carrey, in my head. It was Jim Carrey.
Yeah, when we actually talked about this on the ride back.
I just kept hearing, we always have a very friendly Uber driver that always asks us the movie, and we try and give a spoiler-free review for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's good, go see it, nothing else. We don't want to say anything else, go see it, it's worth it. But we're going to spoil the shit out of it. We're assuming that you've seen it. That's the idea. We're operating under that assumption that this is you geeking out with us and seeing what you think.
Because
if you haven't, then this is going to ruin everything. Where did we leave off at? Oh, okay. So
talking about actors who could play Deadpool.
When I read the comics, Deadpool does this to me every time because there's so many meta references on top of pop culture references on top of breaking the fourth wall that you get lost in it's just the humor is what you can concentrate on. Mm-hmm. It's funny. You can follow the funny. It gets cerebral. It gets weird. But as long as it's funny, it's the medicine that helps get the weirdness across. That helps that go down. And that's the best way I could describe it. But I always saw like Jim Carrey, but then when I heard Ryan Reynolds was playing Deadpool, instantly I thought of Van Wilder and Waiting, the movie Waiting, where it's he's a waiter in that, obviously. And he's just a smart ass quippy guy. And then he did the Blade Trilogy movie, Trinity, with Wesley Snipes. Apparently Wesley Snipes hated Ryan Gosling. when they made that movie.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, who wasn't even in that movie. He just hated. He was like, fucking Gosling. No, he hated Ryan Reynolds, apparently. I don't know. I guess he felt like he was trying to steal his thunder or something.
Huh.
Regardless, so Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. And so when I would read the comics, and I would just hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
To the point now where he is Deadpool. Like, I can't see anybody else's personality, anyone else being attached to that character. Because that is such a specific character and such a specific sense of humor that you got to nail it or let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And he nails it. He is that character. He's the living embodiment of it, to the point where he is Deadpool in real life.
Yeah.
And he just wears the suit and just walks around and does shit as Deadpool. So he is really Deadpool now, which is great. And the marketing is tremendous. But anyway, let's get to it, shall we? Let's start where we ended on Deadpool 1, the first Deadpool. I want you to give a quick recap on how Deadpool ended, the first Deadpool.
Deadpool ended, they killed Francis.
Yeah.
And
fuck Francis.
Vanessa and Deadpool lived happily ever after.
Yep. Or so we think.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not long. We get into the Deadpool 2 and right away, shit goes down.
Uh-huh.
And we find out very early on that, Wade's been going around doing mercenary work and making money doing that. And unfortunately, it's kind of backfired. Somebody got away, and the one dude that got away was able to get other dudes to go after Wade. And unfortunately, Vanessa was a target as well. They go after her. And
I don't know if she was a target. I think she was a bystander.
Well, she was there, but they knew that they had to kill both of them. Like, it was just a revenge thing. Because, he couldn't get to the guy. He had a safe room.
Yeah, the main guy.
He had a safe room.
Like a bitch in the safe room.
He's like, oh, get out of the safe room. Please come out.
Can you come out?
Please.
I gotta go.
I got shit to do. It's just hilarious.
It was his anniversary.
Yeah.
That makes it so much worse.
So he had to go, and then he tries to save her, but in doing so, ends up accidentally killing her and trying to save her. And he blames himself for it. He says it's his fault. He has all this guilt. So at the beginning, big time spoilers, Vanessa from the first movie, gone.
She dies.
But she comes back throughout as a sort of, I don't know, spiritual figure to help guide him. Like
guardian
a moral,
angel
moral
almost?
Guardian angel, moral compass. Yeah. So he's all fucked up, and he decides he's going to just kill himself.
Yep.
And so he just fucking blows himself up into pieces.
Yep.
And then who comes to save his ass but motherfucking Colossus from X-Men, the first movie. He's like, I'm not giving up on you, Wade. And he's just like, screw you, Colossus. And then something about he gets some sort of thing from Vanessa, like some sort of spiritual guidance that he needs to join the X-Men, basically, that he needs to have a family and he needs to join the X-Men in his heart.
She tells him that he can't get to her because his heart is not in the right place. And he thinks that that means he has to join the X-Men.
Why? Because Colossus says, you need to go to a place to let your heart grow. And then he goes, heart. Mm-hmm. Oh, heart. Like Vanessa said in my dream, to guide me to the X-Men. And so he pieces that all together and says, okay, I should be here. And he's not allowed to join right away.
No. He's a trainee.
There's a hilarious running gag in the movie where they keep saying, well, that's because I'm an X-Man now. Trainee! Someone off camera.
Yells.
Off camera just every time. Trainee! He's like, yeah, trainee, yeah. Fuck. And they just keep dropping it every time. Even when he's no longer a trainee, they keep saying, well, I was an X-Man. Trainee. Yeah, I know. This is such a funny bit that they keep running. And he has what is it? Looks like a hockey halter top.
It's like a half, like,
jersey.
Like there's a cropped
football
jersey.
Cropped football jersey. And he's wearing it over. It's hilarious. And he decides, screw this. Not yet. He gets locked up because he decides there's a kid. He joins the X-Men. Man, I love this movie. It was tremendous. But we get to that kid, right? The kid with the quote-unquote supernatural abilities.
Yes.
The kid who has the fire flame on. He's like Johnny from Fantastic Four.
Yeah. And I guess I could kind of agree that they are supernatural abilities.
Supernatural. Man, we are all fucked up after this Deadpool movie.
I guess in the sense because, like, there are some mutants that are experimented on and right. that's how they get their powers, or they're altered in some way.
Well, it's
and
around
there
their,
are ones
well,
that are born with powers, and you don't know why they get them, so they are supernatural.
I hate to point out but something that they've said in the X-Men universe is that it's usually around adolescence, it's usually during puberty, and it's usually a traumatic event that triggers it. That's what they've always said, and that the male passes the gene on or whatever, which is the same thing, I guess, with... the parallels between homosexuality and everything is that the male passes, I believe the male passes the homosexual gene down, if there is one. I don't know how it works. I'll have to do, science is hard, biology's hard.
Well, I mean, I know that's a similar theory with werewolves, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it's something that's inherited, and then it's the werewolf gene is dormant until you make your first kill. So you don't turn into a werewolf until you kill someone.
Can werewolves make babies that become werewolves?
Mm-hmm.
Just like vampires? So if vampires do it...
Vampires can't have kids.
If a vampire... Wait, what? But what... Aww.
Generally. In general, vampires can't make...
Twilight says... Never mind. All right, fucking goddamn it. Anyway, back to Deadpool.
Twilight
says. Fuck Twilight. Fuck Twilight. No, I love Twilight. Team Edward.
Oh, boy. Not even I'm Team Edward, and I was 14 when those books came out.
I don't even know what that means. I just know it's a thing. Who's Edward? Is he the wolf
He's
or the
vampire?
Jacob
is the wolf.
I sound like an old man. All right, so back to Deadpool 2. Yeah. Speaking of old man, so Colossus decides, hey, we're not going to give up on you. You should be an X-Men. And Wade's like, all right, I'm in because I got a message from the other side, so let's do this.
Now we have a mission.
Yeah, he's got a purpose now, finally. Finally, there's a point to it. This movie's great. So he joins the X-Men briefly, and he's at the mansion. Hilarious shit at the mansion.
Oh,
obviously,
God.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead is there, and she's got a girlfriend. Who? What's the girlfriend's name?
Akira.
Something
Akira?
Like that.
But
they have a funny running gag where she's like, "Hi, Wade," and he's like, "Hi, Akira," or
yeah,
whatever.
Because she's so happy.
And it just he's just pleasant. To her, like they have a like it's a funny little friendship thing. Like hi, like they're both really happy to see each other.
Yeah,
it's just it's like they like each other. They're friends.
And she's such the polar opposite of
Negasonic. Well, yeah, I mean it makes sense
Jordan.
Why they are together because
yeah.
they're a great like couple, like juxtaposition, like she Negasonic is she's very stern and like you know everything's lame, whatever, and then. Her girlfriend is very much like, hey, everything's fun and great and I'm happy. So you can see why they're together. It makes sense. It's a funny dynamic and it's a cute dynamic too. And then you've got Colossus just trying to like get Wade to be a good... He knows Wade's a good man deep down.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't agree with Wade's philosophy of, yeah, sometimes you got to do fucked up shit to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do bad, fucked up, wrong shit. Sometimes you got to fight dirty to be the good guy. And it was a great speech because it explains who Deadpool is and his like what he is.
Yeah.
Like he's an anti-hero. Sometimes that's what you have to do in order to you need the Punisher sometimes. Sometimes you need the Punisher to go in and kill all those crazy motherfuckers because they're going to go kill everyone else. Sometimes you need Frank Castle to just kill them. Sometimes you need Deadpool to show up and just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like get rid of them. Wow. I mean, we'd like to think we all could be the heroes, but you know, like Dopender found out when Dopender wanted to join him and fight the cab driver. Dopender was like all bloodlust and wanted to fight. And then once he was confronted by a really important character we'll get to later, a villain, he's like, I'm too soft and weak to be here. I will break. And he runs away.
He said, my hands and skin are so
soft.
I'm going to go back to the car.
And then he runs away. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what it would be like in real life for any of us. So it's great to imagine these characters.
No, but going back, I kind of want to explain what leads up to
the beginning
of this mission because
Absolutely.
There was actually part of it that really bothered me that I didn't agree with.
Oh, yeah. While they're in the mansion, though, remember he's like, where are the other X-Men? We only ever see you guys. And then you cut to the full X-Men cast from like the new school, like McAvoy and everybody. Beast and all that, and they're all like, shh, and they close the door quietly.
I didn't see McAvoy. Was McAvoy
Yeah, he was sitting down in the chair, and he was like looking at the door, like close the door, everyone quiet, and they closed, and they were all the whole cast was over there.
Oh boy!
Just for that one shot, and they all closed the door, and they weren't seen again. It was amazing.
My eye immediately went to Beast, so I just ignored
everyone.
I saw
Beast, and then I saw McAvoy, then I saw Cyclops and everyone, and then I was like, what? It really is. And then they closed.
Oh, that's so funny.
I was like, because they're hiding from, they don't like Deadpool, that he scares them, so they hide from him.
That's so funny.
It's just an amazing, it's just a funny running gag. Like, that's why they're never around, because they're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, so yeah, he, sorry, what were you saying about going to
the... So they go on this mission, which turns out there is a 14-year-old kid who has mutant abilities.
Yeah, there's like a weird insane asylum where they take all the mutant kids in, and they, well, not all of them, but there was a few of them there that they were sort of...
It's more of like a reformation center.
That's a good way of putting it, because if we're going with, if the X-Men are sort of an amalgamation or a metaphor for homosexuality, mm-hmm. I guess, in modern American society or Western culture, mm-hmm. I know, right, deep themes, but fuck it, whatever. It's interesting to speculate. Then you could say, yeah, that would be like a reformation camp,
yeah.
or like one of those reprogramming centers where they try and like mm-hmm. get the gay out or whatever.
Yeah. So they go, and there's this kid who can shoot fire out of his hands. Yeah.
And he calls himself
Fire Fist.
So it's Fire Fist. It's Fire Fist. Young Fire Fist.
Or,
it's like, holy shit.
Russell.
Yeah, Russell.
And he's from, his name is Russell.
New Zealand, which I think is, I'm not sure, leave in the comments below if it's canonical. I didn't have time to check into that. But I believe Fire Fist might be from New Zealand, and I believe that is the, that might be accurate. I don't know, but the actor they had, it's a young version of the character.
Yes.
I believe he starts off young as well. And they handled him really well because, well, he's in jail with Wade because, well, Wade fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
He, kid tells him, hey, look, they tortured me here. They did horrible things to us. And I'm not staying and I'm getting out and this is bad and I'm not going back. I'd rather go to, what do they call it?
The ice box, which is...
We'll find out,
we'll find out in a minute. But, so, Wade realizes mm-hmm. that this kid is being abused...
He remembers what it was like when he was abused.
When he was abused.
And
so he's
nope.
basically like, fuck all this, being the nice guy hero.
Yeah, pulls out his gun and...
shoots some of the staff. And then
right
Colossus...
In the head. Boom, pop, pop.
Right
fuck
in
you.
The head.
It's awesome.
And then Colossus attacks him and gets him down on the ground, and they put these collars on them that suppress their powers.
Yeah, which is handy.
And sends him to this high security prison for mutants, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
yeah, the ice
that
box.
Part actually really bothered me, because I understand that that might be how they would react in the Deadpool's perspective of the X-Men universe, but I feel like in the actual X-Men universe, they never would have left that kid in that situation.
Oh, that the X-Men would have, like, they wouldn't let that place exist.
No.
I think that's why they were going there. I think, like, they finally, like, I think Fire Fist escaped. I think they were suppressing it all in that place.
Yeah, yeah, but
and
now
I think
that
once
they
he
know.
Escaped, now that they know, I think they're going to go and handle it.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let the kid go to... You're right. They wouldn't let a
they
child...
They wouldn't let the kid go to a place...
of maximum security mutant prison for grown-up mutants dangerous mutants. Yeah, you're right.
But I understand
for
that
the sake of the
maybe
film.
That's how the X-Men in the Deadpool universe choose to handle those situations. Because even in the other X-Men movies, and I know I'm getting a little off kilter, they didn't always fight like the good guys.
No, Wolverine never did.
Wolverine
never
different,
did.
Didn't.
Never, he never fought... Fair. Wolverine, not fair, but Wolverine would fight with aggression. He would be very mad, and he wouldn't even think. It wouldn't even be about being fair. It would be about, how do I kill it?
Yeah.
How do I kill it? How mm-hmm. do I cut its fucking head off? It's like, whoa, calm down, Logan. It's like, fuck you, I won't. I'm Wolverine.
Yeah, so how they chose to deal with the X-Men's morality in that particular scene really...
Yeah.
bothered me
Colossus
because they were I felt like they're almost like the public's perception of them was more important than saving this kid.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, maybe it was the government sort of stepping in and saying, we're doing this and it's not up to you. And maybe behind the scenes, they were trying to do something that they mm-hmm. always do. They always try and do they're the X-Men, so they try and do things right. Like, we gotta do it the right way, you know?
Yeah,
so I get it, but at the end of the day, Deadpool's like, fuck this shit, I'm killing these guys, mm-hmm. you're going to have to take me in, I don't care.
Which and is why, and that's
they
sort
lock
of
him up with the kid, too, which is which is also, Deadpool keeps saying, wow, lazy writing. He just keeps saying that over and over again.
Lazy writing.
God, what lazy writing? It's like, God, it's like this is some sort of Deus Ex Machina moment, and he looks right at the camera like, remember this, kids? It's like really funny Ryan Reynolds / Deadpool humor that is not just Ryan Reynolds or Deadpool, it's sort of turning into its own... it is Deadpool more or less, but it's kind of becoming its own thing, an amalgamation of both Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is the same thing. Anyway, mm-hmm. Sorry.
So then they go to the maximum security prison,
which is the icebox, which is a really cool.
It's a cool set.
It's a really cool set. Really cool idea. Like, I don't know what all the mutants could do.
Yeah.
Because all their collars were on. So I'm like, who are these mutants? Like, I know they must have based them on actual mutants.
Yeah.
But I'm like, so there's probably going to be like, in the future, I'm going to look up the stills of like, this is that mutant.
Yeah.
And this is that one. And it's going to have circles and be like, see, and comparisons.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait till the internet does that, because I'm sure there's a lot of Easter eggs there.
Yeah,
in that prison. I mean, like, there are so many
individuals. Like, I kind of wish, because I felt like it would have fit in Deadpool, that, yeah, like, they had kind of a scene where a bunch of them were, like, sitting around eating or something.
Yeah,
and Ryan Reynolds is just like, so what do you do? Like, what can you do?
Yeah,
he's either like being like, that's fucking lame, or that's the coolest shit ever. Like,
yeah,
know,
right. Yeah.
Just like judging their powers like only Deadpool can.
Yeah, there was a lot of really great social moments there in the prison, because all their powers were gone. And then there was a recurring. It's funny because Deadpool has interesting relationships with every character.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a villain, but he feels like he's a friend with the villain. It's like, and this character is a white guy,
yeah,
white dude with dreads and a beard and tattoos all over his face and neck, and he calls himself Black Tim, I think, and he's a white dude, he's like the whitest dude, and he sounds like a hick and everything,
yeah.
He calls himself, and he's like, yeah, I'm Black Tim. Really funny moments where Deadpool is just getting his ass kicked, and the problem is that when you take away his regenerative healing factor, he has that. He still has cancer.
Yeah.
So like, and so what's going to happen is you take away his ability to regenerate. He's going to slowly die from that disease. And so he wants that to happen. He's waiting for it to happen, but it's happening too slow because his healing again. Wolverine's rehealing factor is accelerated, but Deadpool's is exceptionally accelerated because it was weaponized in him.
Yes.
So his is made so he could literally have half his body cut off, which it did at one point.
We'll talk about that.
Motherfucking Juggernaut shows up.
God
damn. Anyway, sorry, spoiler, Juggernaut, bitch. It's the Juggernaut. I wanted him to say it. Like, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. But he only said it in the third X-Men movie. I wanted them to say it. I wanted Deadpool to say it. Be like, it's the Juggernaut, bitch. He missed opportunity. He should have said that. Would have been amazing. But regardless.
There was also part of the exchanges in the prison.
Right.
Annoyed the shit out of me.
Well, we had an interesting. The actor who plays Fire Fist.
Yes.
We like him.
Yes.
But there were. I think there were moments where he showed that he was sort of new to the game. As far like, you know, because he, like all the other actors seem more polished, I think. And it's not that he lacked polish. It's that I think he was sort of, I think this may have been one of his first, if not his first big movie, one of his first big movies. And so I think he was very hesitant or reluctant. He may have been holding back, or he may have been scared or intimidated at times or something because he was so new. I don't know, but he was good and I enjoyed his performance, but there was something a little off about it. And it wasn't bad. It's just, I think it's an experience thing.
Yeah,
and
well,
because you said at one point, you're like, I'm annoyed. He
annoyed
me a little.
No, but it wasn't.
But
it wasn't
you weren't
him.
Annoyed. No.
It wasn't his acting that annoyed me. I thought he was great in the role, and I thought, you know, his acting was great. It was, he had one running joke that was basically like, oh, I'm hard, I'm a gangster, I'm tough shit.
Yeah,
and
that
just got really old.
Oh, really?
Like,
I thought
felt
it was
like
funny.
They didn't give him enough humor. He had one
He's like, yeah,
sort of
that's
bit.
Gangster.
Yeah, he had one bit that he did through the entire movie, and I felt like he got the short end of the stick with the humor.
Yeah, I mean, but he did have some really funny moments where he was talking, like him and Wade had really funny
moments.
Yeah,
him
like,
and Wade.
Deadpool and Iron Fist. Deadpool and no other one, Fire Fist.
Yeah.
And Deadpool had a really funny exchanges, but we haven't even gotten to Cable yet. We're about to.
No, we haven't
right
gotten
now
to Cable
because
yet,
this
yeah.
is when Cable shows.
This is when Cable
is right
shows
when,
up.
I was like, hey, where's Cable?
They're in the
Speak
prison.
Speak of the devil, and he will show up or appear or whatever. It's Cable, bitch. When what happens, we get a quick backstory for Cable. He's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Fist is a bad guy in the future. That kid that's hanging out with Wade is a bad guy in the future.
Yeah.
And he goes, and apparently Cable was fighting Fire Fist in the future. Fire Fist is a big villain.
Yes.
And Cable was going after him and trying to take him out.
Yeah.
And he didn't get him.
No.
And so when he got home, apparently Fire Fist got away and Cable couldn't get to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Fire Fist tracked down Cable's family,
yep.
his wife and his daughter, and toasted him, just yeah. burnt him. And so his, you know, that there's his motivation for yep. time traveling is he's going to go back and take out Fire Fist when he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom, he shows up and comes in the prison and just starts like killing everyone that gets in his way because he's just trying to get this one kid to save the future.
Yep.
Because he really, that there's his motivation. And I'm like, that's a good, what a great idea for mm-hmm. bringing Cable into this. You know, it's instead of some calamity in the future, it's I'm going to kill Hitler. It's the baby Hitler paradox.
Yeah.
Remember? It's the baby Hitler paradox where if you go like, okay, there's Hitler. He's a bad guy. We don't want him to exist. If he never would have lived, all of the Jews, like all those Jews wouldn't have been killed. Mm-hmm. All of the homosexuals and people with disabilities, these mm-hmm. camps wouldn't have existed.
Yep.
World War II wouldn't have happened. So let's go back and kill Hitler. So you go back, but he's a baby. He hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah.
It's an innocent child. Mm-hmm. You're literally taking an innocent child's life before anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You monster, you know, like what a dick. Like, so at what point do you go back and take them out? And then Wade had the same revelation we had, which was, why don't you go back and try and be good to them and
yeah.
treat them kind and give them love and friendship and support?
Yeah.
Something they desperately probably needed. Uh-huh. And then they don't have to die. They don't have to, you know, whatever. But Cable's like, yeah, thought about it. Said, fuck that. It's like, yeah, I thought about it. And he's like, well, what do you think? Fuck that. And then he decided to go. Basically, that's his philosophy.
Well, I think it was less that. I think he was willing to do whatever it took to prevent
yeah.
Fire Fist from becoming the bad guy.
So
and the only, in his mind, the only guaranteed way to do that was for him to die.
Yeah, absolutely. To ensure that mm-hmm. victory or whatever, because, you
yeah.
know, again, he was traumatized by losing his family.
Yeah, that's
so
yeah,
how
absolutely.
So how do you not, that's his reality, mm-hmm. so it's really fucked up. But again, tremendous, you know, writing for a time travel superhero plot. I mean,
yeah.
tremendous writing. If you're going to introduce a time traveling character, give him some really goddamn good motivation.
Yeah. So then there's this battle between Wade and Cable, which at one point
it's pretty funny.
The caller gets knocked off of Wade, so he gets his powers
but
back.
But that moment when, like, he got his... he didn't have his rehealing power, and he got his arms broken, his leg, his back, his head.
It was fucking hard to watch.
He was, like, just a crushed sack of potato chips.
Yeah.
Of bones.
That
and
was
then
hard
his
to
collar
watch.
Finally pops off, and mm-hmm. then he comes back. But
yes.
he's trying to fight Cable, and Cable breaks his arm, and he's got his arm wrapped around Cable's neck, so he uses his broken arm to try and strangle Cable,
yeah.
which was one of the most gross, funny moments I've seen, where he's like, yes. damn it, and he's like, broken arm, and he's like holding his wet noodle broken arm trying to choke him out. It was
yeah.
the funniest, grossest thing I've seen, and that's what Deadpool should be.
Yes,
and
that
I was
is
so
what
happy.
Deadpool should be.
By the way,
be.
I'm a big Cable fan. Big fan of Cable from
yes.
back in the
yeah.
X-Men animated series, back in the comics. I love the storyline of Cable. And to finally see him
mm-hmm.
on the big screen and played by an actor of Josh Brolin's caliber
yes.
was like, oh my God. I was like, this is a dream come true. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was sitting there and when I first saw him, I was getting emotional. I was like, there's Cable. They finally did it. They finally put Cable in a movie. I was like, and it's Josh Brolin. And then they made the Thanos joke, which
yeah.
I love that part.
Shut up, Thanos.
Shut up, Thanos. And he's like, God damn it, Wade, you're such a cunt. He actually calls him a cunt.
He does.
At one
he calls
point.
Wade a cunt.
He's like, you little cunt. And everyone's like, whoa. He just called him a whoa.
Come on, Brolin.
Yeah, wow, Brolin.
Calm down.
But it was tremendous. So they're still fighting.
Yes.
We haven't gotten to the X-Force yet.
No, we haven't gotten to X-Force yet. X-Force has not started yet.
Not yet.
So they're still fighting, and eventually they fight their way out of this prison by blowing up back wall, and they both fall out of a cliff.
Yeah, Brolin made a gun that he turns up with a guitar amp volume.
Yeah.
And he's got this cool Winter Soldier arm, which
yeah.
is what Deadpool calls. He's like, your Winter Soldier arm, but it has like a shield built into it.
Yeah.
Like a
mm-hmm.
like a plasma shield, which
yeah.
is very handy
mm-hmm.
Considering that he gets shot at a lot and
yeah.
it's sort of like he uses it very sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really cool tech, future tech. He builds the gun himself, which can go up to 11, by the way. It has a knob that can go up to 11. And he marked it 11 himself, which was funny. Really great moments. You get a lot of but we don't really know a lot of Cable's. We know his backstory. We saw a little bit of it and we kind of pieced it together ourselves before mm-hmm. he shows up.
Yeah.
But then he's still mysterious. We don't really, he hasn't spoken a lot.
Yeah.
Strong and silent type, which is great for Deadpool because he won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So
I can relate.
Then they, Deadpool once again has a near-death experience.
Yes, big time.
Where he sees Vanessa again, but he still can't get to her. So he's like, I joined the X-Men. What else do I need to do?
Yeah.
And he realizes that he needs to save the kid.
Yeah. And Colossus is basically pissed off at Deadpool. He's mad at him because Deadpool killed the orderlies, the evil people.
They're having a lover's quarrel, so yeah. So Colossus is pouting in the X-Men mansion right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's reading books.
He's reading books and pouting.
Yeah, in front of fireplaces. And then, basically, this is the moment where they decide they have to put a team together.
Yep. But yeah, that happens.
But not before Fire Fist breaks the Juggernaut out of the icebox.
Yes, which we should say, at this point, you do not know it is the Juggernaut.
Yeah, we don't know.
You just know there's something big back there.
Yeah, but he eventually makes friends with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're being transferred, Deadpool tries to save him from mm-hmm. being transferred and break him out. But he successfully breaks them out, but unfortunately, the Juggernaut gets away too, and the kid's like, I don't need you. See, you said we weren't friends. Now I got a better, stronger friend. Fuck yep. you. And he's like, what? No, I'm your friend.
We just skipped over the entire X-Force bit.
Yeah, but I just wanted to get to Juggernaut because it was such a random, like, that's how the kid basically is able to escape mm-hmm. because he's got the Juggernaut on his side, which is like, holy fuck, that's like a henchman for
him. Well, yeah. One of the running things in the prison is to make friends with the biggest guy.
Right, they keep saying that. So he's like, well, that's the biggest guy there.
Find the biggest guy yeah. and make friends with him.
So, but then Deadpool's like, well, Cable's coming after us. He wants the kid. We got to stop Cable and we got to save the kid. But I need help. I can't do it on my own. So let's mm-hmm. put an ad out in the paper. Yeah, of course. We'll put an ad out in the fucking
Craigslist ad.
Yeah, in the Sunday Times or something. I don't know. Yeah, in the Sunday paper. And people respond. You got fucking Pennywise shows up. Not Pennywise. You know, what's his name?
Bill Skarsgård,
Terry Crews.
Well, they all have really cool power. Well, yeah, except for Steve.
Well, you've got,
Bill.
Like they're.
What was his name?
Well, Skarsgård had a throw up ability where he threw up acid.
He threw up acid.
Which was cool.
That was cool.
You had a guy who was just an alien who was better at everything than humans.
Yeah.
They're all real characters. I can't remember their names.
You have the Vanisher.
The Vanisher.
Who's invisible.
Invisible. You got Terry Crews' ability was he was able to use electromagnetic frequencies or whatever to fuck with people or something like that. But I can't remember. And then. Who else do we have? Peter. Then Peter.
Peter.
Who just, he just saw the ad in the paper, thought it would be fun.
Yep.
So he just showed up.
And then Domino.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Who's my favorite.
And her ability is, obviously,
luck.
Which is an interesting, which, again, Deadpool keeps saying, well, that's just lazy writing. She's just lucky. That's why she's good at things, because it's just luck. She just shows up and everything kind of happens, and she just walks around, and it just happens. Which is really, and it is cinematic. It is cool. It is fun to watch. And she does sort of just go by intuition to a degree, but also she is just lucky. It's just a weird thing how she just is lucky. It's just, it's good to have a character like that, you know,
yeah.
who's just kind of lucks out all the time.
Mm-hmm. So
I hate like trivializing it, but she's so lucky that it is a mutant ability.
It is.
Like you're like, oh.
Like, that's when you actually see it
the
happening.
Way they write it and the way they film it and the way it's portrayed, you're like, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, that's funny.
So cool.
It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, yeah. But it's very clever how they did it.
So they get this team together and to go save Russell.
Yeah, Russell's
from
his
the
name,
convoy.
Fire Fist.
And so they're all in this plane. They're all going to jump out of the plane.
Yeah. Because they have to drop in, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know why
on
they have
top
to,
of the
yeah the convoy, that's leading them.
But
everyone who lands in X-Force gets taken out.
Everyone dies.
Yeah, in funny ways, like a wood chipper at one point. Someone gets hit by a car. another person gets electrocuted, and Vanisher, we can't see him
talking
the whole time.
About the cameo.
But yeah, Vanisher, when he gets electrocuted, you finally see who he is, and fucking Brad Pitt.
It's Brad Pitt.
For like 3 seconds, he's in Deadpool 2.
That's so
and you're
random.
Like, what? That was like, quote unquote, he was there the whole time,
yeah,
but you didn't see him.
Nope.
And you know he came in, and you know they just scanned his face, and that was it. And yeah, it was Brad Pitt was the Vanisher. So technically, Brad Pitt played a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know if he'll be back. We don't know if all of them will be back because something happens at the end. We'll get
yes,
to that in
which
a bit.
We'll get to.
But yeah, let's. So yeah, where are we at now? Oh yeah, so Juggernaut runs away because all the X-Force is dead except Domino because she's lucky.
Yep.
She survives and she's kicking ass. She's helping out, mm-hmm, proving very valuable to them. And everyone's like, you know, not everyone, but I love the casting of Domino because in the comics, she is all pale white. She's like pale all white with a black dot. But in the movie, she's African American, and she's got a white, was it like vitiligo or something?
Yeah, it's like vitiligo.
She has like a white in honor spot instead of like being all white. And I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
That's really cool.
I'm like, what a cool, and her eye is a different color too.
Yellow.
And mm-hmm, I'm like, that's way cooler than if they went with like, oh, she has black long hair and she's white and she's got all, and I'm not saying that. Like, oh, and she's a white chick, but it's like that all pale white design with a black dot. That's kind of cool, I guess. But this is a much more like natural way of doing it.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
this is like a this looks visually more pleasing for the cinema.
Yeah,
like in the comic book, the black and white is cool, but in the movie, her that having that eye thing and having that look is really striking and really cool.
Yeah,
and the mm-hmm actress herself is very talented as well.
She is very talented.
She's really good. Like, she's funny and she's, you know, she's just chill. And mm-hmm, it's like nothing's a big deal because she's lucky all the time.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoyed her performance. And she was able to keep up with Ryan Reynolds very, very well. They were very, the banter was tremendous.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
So then at this point, they have gotten to the convoy. And this is the point where Juggernaut is revealed and introduced, and then he rips Deadpool in half.
Yeah, and he proceeds. You know, remember how Deadpool had to like grow a baby hand? Well, now he grows baby legs.
Oh my god. And it's that scene.
And Blind Al is hilarious as per usual. Love Blind Al.
Yes.
Love the relationship they have.
Mm-hmm. She's not in it as much as she was in the first one,
but you know, still
good. She's
great. And of course, yeah, Weasel's there, and you know, Weasel's still funny. He's still a funny character.
Mm-hmm.
And then not in it as much, but, you know, still, when he's there, he's serviceable and funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got, as much as we got X-Force, you know, we didn't need him for the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it was, the buildup was, you needed that buildup, so when you killed them all off one by one, it was way funnier.
It was way funnier.
Than if they got taken out by the bad guys.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they don't know how to parachute. They're just dropping in, so of course they're going to, like, in a residential area, they're going to die.
Yeah, so Deadpool is sitting on the couch with baby legs.
Oh, yeah.
A baby torso.
Yeah, this is before the parachute.
Torso.
Yeah, but, yeah, there's a whole scene about him, and Cable shows up.
Yeah.
And Cable's like, look, I know you guys are coming after me, but I figure I should just explain what I'm doing, because mm-hmm, I think there's miscommunication here, like,
yep,
clearly. And they kind of go into everything. Deadpool just tries to convince him not to kill the kid, to give him like 30 seconds or something. He's like, you got 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a great moment where you kind of understand why Cable keeps putting up with Deadpool. And it's because he says, I like you, Wade. You remind me of my wife.
Yeah.
She was funny. She always made me laugh. She always knew how to find humor in the darkest situations. That mm-hmm was her way of dealing with things, was because she always found a way to make things funny. I was never good at that myself. So you see why he's like, because Deadpool reminds him of his wife.
Yeah.
And he's like, and his wife was just killed. So mm-hmm, in that sense of humor, it's like, it's something he needs.
Yep.
Because he's so, you know, he's like a balled up piece of paper. He's like a rock. He's like a fist. He's like this clenched thing all the time, and he needs that, and to work with somebody like that who loosens him up, you know, mm-hmm, probably makes it easier for him to you know, he feels less alone, and he's got someone that again mm-hmm reminds him of the woman he loves with all of his life, which was a great way of explaining their dynamic,
yeah,
why they work together, why they work well together, why they kind of need each other,
mm-hmm,
and how it's a beneficial I guess you'd say, relationship for the movie. A big theme for this was family. They kept talking about family in this movie, which was great. And you could see what they meant. Like, yeah, we all feel like orphans, but, you know, you can have a family even though you feel like an orphan or you feel like you're left alone. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have families. It's your F. Find your F is what they called it, right? Find your family. And
they said family isn't an F word.
Yeah, family isn't an F word, you know. And that was their whole point. It was like, yeah, we all feel like orphans, or we all are abandoned at some point or whatever, but you know, what's important is you know, you can have a family and you're worthy of a family, blah blah blah, and that's possible. And so it's just, it's a really hopeful message, I think.
Yeah,
the first Deadpool was kind of a love story. It was like a romantic comedy, an R-rated romantic comedy that happened to be a superhero movie. This is like an R-rated I don't know what you'd call it, like ensemble family thing. It's like they're not all family members. They're not related, but it's like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's about friendship and family. That's what this is about. It's about friendship and family, and to a degree, second chances. Like, this was kind of about second chances as well, because Cable was willing to give that kid a second chance instead of kill him. He's willing to give Deadpool a second chance. Deadpool is willing to give everyone else a second chance. And also, Cable felt responsible for killing his wife. And Deadpool felt responsible for killing Vanessa. So they have that together. They definitely have that connection with each other. So they join forces, and it's great. And they're fighting together, and Deadpool's like, I love that gun. I really love that gun. And Cable is just, he's a badass, and he's very capable, and he's clearly good at what he's doing. But if he takes out that kid, it's going to be worse. For him in the long term, because he'll have his wife and daughter will be alive, but then he would have killed an innocent kid then. So, you know, he's got to live with that part as well. So it's really, it's a huge bummer. And so we're getting to the end, obviously. And this is where I start to get a little hazy on what happens, because everything kind of came at once. Okay, go for it.
So at this point, Cable has come to see them. They have all agreed to work together to go get this kid. Deadpool goes to get Colossus. Colossus, you know, they forgive each other, so Colossus agrees to go with them.
And then he Colossus takes on the Juggernaut, which Colossus was a really cool fight scene. I'm like,
Which I find out, I was not familiar with the Juggernaut as a character, but you find out in this scene that the Juggernaut is Xavier's brother.
He's sort of the opposite of what Xavier is. Xavier doesn't have like he doesn't have like super strength, but he's super intelligent. But his body is physically weak, but his mind is strong. The Juggernaut is the opposite. His body is physically strong and like a god almost, but his mind is very weak, which is why he has to wear the helmet to keep Charles out of his head, because Charles keeps trying to calm him down. And Juggernaut is very emotionally messed up. Like, things, he's not well. But that's what makes him such a cool character and an interesting villain. And when he pops up, even Deadpool geeked out about he's like, oh my, he's like, what? Juggernaut? Holy shit. He's like, you're like my favorite X-Men character.
Yeah,
he's
just great.
Like going on and on. He's like, okay, I'm going to rip you in half now. And he rips him in half. And then we got the baby legs.
So then Colossus is fighting Juggernaut. And the other three are chasing down the kid. Russell, who wants to kill the headmaster.
Headmaster, leader of the asylum.
Shitty dude. The shitty dude. The who warden. Deserves to die.
Yeah, he deserves to die.
He's chasing him down, and eventually, they do get to the kid, and Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Same person.
Same diff.
is able to get through to him and talk him down
a bit, but then he still snaps and tries to burn everyone, right? Like, he tries to burn
he's like I can't trust anyone,
and Cable's like, fuck this, and then shoots him. But Deadpool knew that Cable was gonna try and do that, so he already jumped to take the bullet for the kid. But he already had the collar on, I think, right? Deadpool had that collar on. He's like, look, he put the collar on to show the kid that he could trust him. But then when he jumped, he got shot and he was going to die.
Yep.
and he's lying there and he's about to die and he keeps, and then we
this
have
this is gonna sound really fucked up, but his death scene was really funny.
It's one of the funniest death scenes ever. He had like three or four false deaths before he actually succumbed, but he didn't actually succumb because Domino was, they're like, oh, there's a keypad on here, how do we, well, we don't know the number, and she's like, I don't know, try 7, and he goes, that's ridiculous, why would they put one number on here and they use it and it comes off? He's like, see, lazy writing, it's just lazy writing.
Well, no.
To get the collar off his neck.
Yes, but that was after. So Deadpool dies.
Yeah, but they take.
He didn't want the collar taken off because he wanted to die with be with Vanessa.
Right.
So he dies, goes to see Vanessa, and she's like, "Oh, it's not our time yet. Go."
Well,
back.
This is where I got confused, and the reason why he had to go back was because Cable decided to fuck with time travel.
Yep.
He had two charges: one to get him back in time, and one to get him back home.
Mm-hmm.
Once he saved, once they stopped Russell, because Russell, if Fire Fist had killed someone, he would have become a bad guy and kept doing it the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped him from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized, oh, this is okay, I don't want to kill anyone now. This is, so then Cable looks down at the burnt teddy bear from his daughter and sees that it's fine. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. And he's like, well, shit. He's like, well, all right. And being the big softy that he really is, he goes back in time and he takes the token from the arcade that Vanessa gave Deadpool and puts it under the spot where the bullet hits.
Yes.
So that, and it's a lead token, so that when the bullet hits him, ping, it gets stuck and he's fine.
Yes.
Because he knew right where he was going to get hit. Big softy Cable. So then they get to, so then we fast forward, we get to that scene and he's like, how did you, you used time travel, didn't you, you son of a bitch? I knew it. You did it because you love me, because you're my friend and you love me. He goes, I didn't do it for you. He's like, yeah, you did. You did it for me. He's like, no, I didn't. I did it because it was blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, whatever. You totally did it for me. So it was a lover's moment
Yeah, it was funny.
Deadpool has a lot of intimate relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
Colossus, he's kind of a whore. Kind of a bitch, sexy.
Little bit.
Whore bitch, Deadpool. At one point, remember we saw the Celine Dion video and the dancer was wearing heels in it?
Yes.
Deadpool was at a point, he was stripping.
Yeah, he
and
was
he
a
had
strip
the,
club.
He had the heels.
It wasn't the same heels.
It weren't, no, but they he was different. Wearing heels, though.
He was wearing heels.
Deadpool
and
wore
it was very funny.
In the movie, and mm-hmm. they were Deadpool heels. They were, like, made for him.
Okay.
It was awesome. He looked great.
Just for one second, we need to backtrack just a little bit. The Celine Dion song plays in the title credits.
Like a James Bond movie.
Like a James Bond
and
movie.
Deadpool and Deadpool is dancing sexy like a Bond girl.
Yes,
it's
but
hilarious.
While that scene was very, very funny, it was way different hearing that song after Vanessa dies.
Yes, because it was right after she... It felt very much like the beginning of a Bond
yeah.
movie, but the credits, like the opening title credits had like, what the fuck's going on?
I was crying and laughing. It was a mess.
Because it said produced by, what the fuck's going on? And then it said directed by, seriously, what is happening? And you would read it and you'd be like, oh yeah, there's a whole conversation
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, yeah. So I just had to talk about that for a second because the heels jogged my memory.
It was great.
And then back to the end. So, some shit happens.
A lot
go
of shit.
Back to the mansion and Supersonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. He's like, God, fucking long name. He said
yeah,
that at one point.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
She has a long fucking name and it's hard to remember. But
Negasonic
she's
Teenage
great.
Warhead.
Great.
Yeah.
And her girlfriend, who can't remember her name
yeah.
either. Disc thing.
Yeah,
watch.
Cable's,
it was a watch.
Cable's time dilator or whatever you call it. Time vortex manipulator.
That's Doctor Who. Wrong film.
I don't give a shit. It's a vortex manipulator, goddammit. He's using it to travel through time and it's on his wrist.
Yes, okay. And so Deadpool goes back and saves Vanessa.
And then, yeah, because like they fix it. Yeah, the two, they fix it. And then he goes, yoink, and he runs away with it. And they go, oh, my God, what have we just done?
What have we done?
What have we just done? And then Deadpool goes back, saves Vanessa, goes back, saves Peter.
Saves Peter.
So
yep.
Peter survives. But I think he could have saved all of X-Force, to be honest. Because he should have, because he got Skarsgård, he got Cruz, he got this like awesome lineup. You need to have that for the X-Force. Because they do, spoiler, I don't know if you've heard this or not, nerds, but they do want to do an X-Force
mm-hmm.
movie that Deadpool is leading.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're going to have the mutants we saw in this movie or if they were just one-off mutants.
No, but you know what? I think he did.
I hope he did because I want to see them in the sequel.
In the scene when they go back and he saves Steve, Skarsgård...
Peter.
No.
Oh.
Skarsgård. Isn't in the wood chipper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. I thought he was because Peter was going to go save him.
Yeah. He was, but not when Deadpool went back in time to save Peter.
Interesting.
He wasn't in the wood chipper.
Oh, well, I hope that they all live, really. Because yeah. So Vanessa was killed in the movie, but then she's brought back. So she's still around.
Mm-hmm.
All the X-Force guys were killed, but then they were brought back more or less. They're still alive. Same thing with Deadpool himself. And, of course, Brolin is now. But now that they fixed the time machine, I guess that means Cable can go back and forth in time if he wants.
Yeah.
But he's decided to stick around because he's from a future where our generation fucked everything up. Like, he's like, your generation fucked everything up and screwed us over.
Fucked everything into a coma, yeah, which your was a really interesting
was,
way to phrase
I'm
it.
I'm so glad you remembered the way he said it, because that was one of the best lines. Like, your generation fucked this world into a coma. It's just like, damn, excellent point.
Do we want to talk about all the other funny shit that Deadpool did with the time stuff?
I mean,
or do we just want to let them have that?
I mean, you guys can have that. I mean, like, I loved that they did the jokes and the bits with the time travel.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one moment where he goes back to X-Men Origins Wolverine and takes care of some business.
Yeah.
Which was pretty great.
That was great.
You do get an unofficial Hugh Jackman cameo, but not really.
We think it just hasn't been confirmed.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But I think they just used the footage. It was an unofficial cameo from Hugh Jackman, which was great. A lot of really great moments. I mean, again, we could go in depth, but I mean, this is one of those movies where, you know, before we get into the whole thing about sequels, it's one of those movies where it's cerebral. The whole time you're watching it, you've got to follow the humor more than I hate saying the plot. The plot is going to happen regardless.
Mm-hmm.
The humor is what is like center stage in this.
Yeah.
The dialogue. And it's interesting because I actually said at the end of this, man, all those action scenes got in the way of all the comedy. I was actually kind of bummed. I wanted more of the humor was so funny and the comedy was so funny that sometimes the action got in the way. And I'm like, and part of me was like, oh, another fight scene. Oh, it's cool. Oh, this is good. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, get back to the funny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because again, Deadpool is using a superhero movie to sell R-rated comedy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the tofu. Superheroes are tofu. They're what you put flavor into it. And they've used that to make R-rated comedies.
Yes.
And get people into the theaters because it's a superhero too. See, there you go. Yep. You don't even need the fight scenes. As long as he's wearing the suit, shooting guns or whatever every once in a while, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what you. And it's a great way to make this movie because now they had more of a budget. They had more stuff. The studio believed in him more.
Mm-hmm.
They had tremendous marketing. And now I want to get to the sequel aspect. A lot of sequels screw the movie. Like sometimes, okay, you'll either get a sequel that is less than or better than.
Yes.
But you'll rarely get a sequel that's just as good as the first. As far as sequels go, is this, in your opinion, less than, better than, or just the same as the first Deadpool?
I honestly think they did a really good job of keeping it. I think it was the same level as the first Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that I liked better about the first Deadpool, and there were things I liked better about the sequel, but
right?
overall,
yeah.
they
yeah.
were neck and neck. I really liked...
They're a good, like, 1-2 punch, the two of them, yeah.
Yeah, and I said afterwards, I preferred, just personal preference, I preferred the plot of the first one.
Yeah. I hear you.
I'm
I mean,
romantic,
well, it's more of a love story.
More of a love
and you
story.
You love the romantic love story aspect.
So I really enjoyed that in a superhero movie. For the second one,
but this friendship family thing was really fun.
That was really good.
I mean, a lot
this
of people
movie
can relate.
Was deeper than the second.
It
movie,
was
than
wasn't
the first
it?
Movie. This movie went deep
because they didn't have to introduce the concepts of Deadpool's like meta fourth wall humor shit. They were like, guess in pop culture references. They're like, okay, you already know it. You already get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're gonna go deep.
One thing that I really really liked about this movie that they didn't do in the first movie was that they used the soundtrack as part of the humor.
Yes.
Which the soundtrack was just kind of there in
I
the
mean,
first
they,
one. As great as it
they
was.
They kind of did. I mean, they had, like, you know, DMX. They had... I mean, that's not necessarily humor. It's just a cool song for a fight scene.
Yeah, no, but
they,
like, in this
they
one,
had Dolly
Deadpool
Parton.
Cued the songs.
Yeah, he had the Dolly Parton. What was it 9 to 5?
9 to 5, yeah. But he actually cued it for each scene, and then
basically,
they made the dubstep jokes and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Josh Brolin. Yeah, because they asked, he's like, is dubstep still a thing? He's like, fuck dubstep. He's like, and then he made a joke. He said something later, like, he's like, I guess dubstep never dies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, it's still in the future. It's just a hilarious
so,
moment.
So, yeah, I think they did a really good job of balancing this one. Any qualms that I have with either movie is just personal preference.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, regardless, this is a another, you know, when you're doing a movie where it's about surprising the audience with something like this, because the audience was, like, surprised. Like, holy shit, this is the first time we've kind of seen something like this. It's like, how do you follow that up? It's like, you've already surprised them. Now what do? They've decided, hey, let's take what works, let's elevate that, and let's add some stuff that would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And because it's humorous, and because they have a great sense of humor that sells and drives this thing, it's like, it just, it no matter what you put in this, it kind of elevated it, you know, no matter what new concept or characters or whatever, the humor, the sensibility of the humor carried through everything. It carried it, so you could get weird, you could get crazy, you could do something outlandish and off the cuff, but you would bring right back with that humor. Yep. And I know you need a solid plot for the humor to sort of take place, but they did. They had something that you could tell that this story, like, it didn't feel rushed.
No,
it didn't feel like a paint by numbers, and it was really unique and really well done. I mean, as far as sequels go, I think this, in my opinion, like, in your opinion, you think this is just as good as the first one.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I personally think it's better than the first one. I really do. Because this has more of the stuff that I remember from reading the comics and getting from the comics.
Yeah.
He didn't have, like, Deadpool has a love story where he's always going after women, but they're never into him.
Nah.
So that's his thing in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, he's got a lady. And yeah, he doesn't really flirt with anyone else, really, because he's got a lady. So, I mean, it's an interesting take on it for the character. But I still love love everything they're doing with it. It all works. It all makes sense. And at the end of the day, I'm just happy that they're able to do an R-rated comedic superhero. And not just any, the R-rated.
Yeah.
Superhero that you want, which is Deadpool.
Yeah.
You want him to show up and make it. And after Infinity War,
yeah,
goddamn,
we Infinity needed the War, funny.
We needed some funny shit to lighten it up, man. Lighten it up, Thanos.
And I actually feel like I do agree with you as a, and I'm saying this kind of on your behalf in a sense.
Go for it.
Such a fan of the source material, it makes sense that you would like the sequel more than the original.
Because right, because
after he fought so long to have this movie made, you know they had to water it down at least a little bit. Like
the first
you're
one, yeah.
Introducing,
oh yeah,
everyone to Deadpool
in comparison,
an R-rated comedy, and so in the sequel, after how successful the first one was, there were just like, do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
it was more successful.
Let it all out.
You're right. It was way more. Well, for me, it was more successful. Me personally, it was more successful at that because again, they were able to do basically what they've always wanted to do without having to water it down or sell it to people. It's already been sold, so now they can do what it is.
They can do whatever they want.
And I think this will strike a chord with hardcore Deadpool fans, and it's already striking a chord with audiences because they knew Deadpool could be more dynamic and interesting than it was, and now we're seeing what they're getting to, and they haven't even got half as weird as they can get,
because
Deadpool gets even fucking weirder. There's points where, like, he thinks he's in a video game, and so he starts, like, seeing things as a video game, and he sees points tally up, and he gets, like, coins or whatever, but really it's just the change falling out of his victim's pockets.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's really, yeah, right? Like, that's the
so
kind of
like
guy
Deadpool
he is.
So it's like Deadpool meets Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, right? Well, it's like, that's one aspect, and then sometimes he'll see everything as, like, a fun Looney Tunes cartoon where everything's super animated and he's
that
just
totally makes sense.
Yeah, right. Like, he'll just see things just because he's crazy. Like, he's legitimately crazy. I hope they do more of that.
Yeah.
It more of his crazy, fucked up perspective kind of a thing, because if you see it more from his twisted perspective than as an outside observer, then it gets more cerebral and weird and in my opinion, more funny and more Deadpool-y, the Deadpool sensibility. And I think if they just keep doing that and hammering that and getting more extreme with it, the audiences will just follow, because we want to go down the rabbit hole. We want to, as weird as it is to say and as scared as I am to say it, We all want to go down the Deadpool rabbit hole.
We'll see. So, okay, I agree and disagree with you. But once again, not familiar with the source material. So, I feel like for a movie, an hour and a half or a two-hour movie, even with Deadpool, there is such thing as too much.
So when you're competing with the
humor and the action and whatever plot they already have going on, I absolutely agree that they should do that.
Yep.
But maybe they should limit it to the marketing.
Yeah, hey, you know what? That's a great way of putting it too. I think what they did with this one was a nice balance. Did you think it was too much of that weirdness, or do you think it was a good mix?
No, I thought it was great. So I'm saying adding any more on top of that, I feel like it would be too much to take in.
Fair enough.
So if they did it for like the non-trailer trailers that they do, if they did that and added that stuff to those trailers, I think that would be a really good way to handle that. And still give Deadpool fans what they want in that respect.
Yeah, totally. I mean, honestly, people love this character so much that I think you can do it either way, and they'll keep coming back for more because we like Deadpool, and so far it's been treated with respect and reference, which is bizarre.
So far, Deadpool can do no wrong.
Yeah,
let's just see.
I mean, when everything's just kind of a joke, you know, you can kind of get away with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I hate saying it, but he's a comedic character, and you don't take him seriously, which is great. Can't do that with Batman.
No,
Batman will punch you in the face.
Yep.
Punch you in the fucking teeth.
Yep.
And he'll just be like, he's like, "What'd you say?" Oh. And he's like, "That's what I thought." Fuck. Oh, and
remember when Deadpool said, "I am Batman"?
There was a moment where he goes, "Who are you?" And Deadpool grabs and pulls him up and goes, "I'm Batman." Oh God! And all the jokes, the DC jokes. He's like, "He's
so
God.
Good.
You're so dark. Are you from the DC universe?" It was so funny. He just ripped on Justice League and everything else.
Oh,
it was just so the DC Marvel West Coast East Coast thing is just fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging it more and more. And I'm looking forward to more Deadpool. I'm looking forward to Deadpool being in X-Men more. I'm looking forward to X-Force.
Me too. I am really looking forward to X-Force.
The X-Force is going to be great. I mean. Yeah, like his solo outings are cool, but this movie was kind of like introducing the concept of him being on a larger team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I want that. So bring on X-Force. Like, you don't even have to call it Deadpool X-Force. Just call it X-Force. We know.
Yeah.
Oh, and the running gag. X-Force.
X-Force.
And he'd make it was like the Wakanda symbol, but he would go X-Force. And he'd be like,
it was so
like, "I've seen that before, Deadpool. Wait a minute."
At one point, Domino's carrying his body ripped in half, and he just goes, X-Force.
And yeah, she's like, carrying his half. And he's like, X-Force. And then there was a song during the end credits. It was the X-Force song.
X-Force
it was like,
X-Force.
It was ridiculous. I can't, everything about this movie, I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. So if we're going to do it out of 10 baby legs.
Yes, we have to
10
do baby
pairs
legs.
Of baby legs. I'm giving it a full 10. I can't help it. I'm giving it a full 10.
That's fair.
I loved it. As a Deadpool fan of the comics and the movies, this was great. In my opinion, it's a little bit better than the first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a scotch better.
I am only going to give it a slightly lower rating.
Oh.
I am going to give it a 9. Just because really, as an X-Men fan, that whole moral decision making bothered me.
Understood.
So I have to dock it a point for that. But other than that,
minor qualm. But other than that, it's up there with the first Deadpool.
It's a solid freaking movie.
If it's not a 9 or a 9.5, then yeah, I can totally see that for you. I mean, like if that's how you feel about the plot and about that one moment, I totally get it, because like that's happened to me before, where my whole rate, it's like, you know, like a wooden horse scene, for example, from some sci-fi Blade Runner movie.
If it's enough to take you out of a movie, you have to, like,
I'm literally sitting there and I'm like, get to the wooden horse already. We know it's the wooden horse, and it's not even a horse, it's a unicorn with a horn chopped off. God damn it, Blade Runner 2049. It's a good movie. But man, anyway, fantastic film.
Great.
If you love Deadpool, you're gonna love this. This is like, you're gonna be besides yourself if you can get past the weird X-Men moral thing. Then, you know, which for me wasn't too much of an issue, but I get it why it would be, because it's, you know, if you're plot driven, it's fantastic. Go see it. Go see it.
Do
it's
the
worth
thing.
It. Is it worth seeing in IMAX 3D? I mean, IMAX possibly if you want 3D. Maybe.
Here's my thing about 3D movies. I would have to research any movie that I'm going to see in 3D mm-hmm. see if it was filmed for 3D.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they did for this one just because they knew they were going to make a lot of money off of it. But regardless, go see it. It's Titties McGee. It's Titties McGillicuddy. You're going to love it. You're going to hate it. And then you're going to love it again. Like a one-night stand.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Oh, okay. Thanks for tuning in. All of our information is below, description, links, whatnot. And also check out the YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. My name in a phone book is I'm shouting at you, all in caps, Simmer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everything else.
Instagram, @team_awesomeinc.
That's right. All right, guys. Thanks. Peace, love, and
X-Force.
X-Force. X-Force.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.